Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Healthy baby skin starts from the bottom. Pampers Swaddlers diapers absorb wetness away from the skin better than the leading value brand, with up to 100% leak-proof protection to help keep your baby's skin dry. Don't forget to pair Pampers diapers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes. They clean better and are 5 times stronger than Huggies Natural Care for easy cleanup without fear of tearing, no matter the mess. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and, of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We have Ryan Botcher. We have Nico. We have the great Connor Green. Rocking and rolling with us all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific today. I'll get to my biggest takeaways from the NBA draft in a bit. You know, I thought Minnesota won the first round. Memphis had the surprise pick, but I actually love it. And the Lakers got the steal of the draft. Someone that's joined us on the show before in the reigning SEC Player of the Year in Dalton Connect. But I actually think it's a problem that we have with the NBA draft. First off, it should not be a two-day event. It shouldn't be. The fact that this has now been spread out where the second round is going to start at 4 p.m. Eastern time today is just a joke. Like, I was there last night. The NBA experience was awesome. Great food, great drinks. You know, I was sitting right behind the first overall pick of the draft to the Atlanta Hawks. I think I'll get his name right, Zachary Risacher. I think that's how you say it. It is a badass spelling, by the way, of his first name. I may contemplate changing how I spell my first name, as I spell Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y. He spells Zachary. Let me pull it up here for a second. He has Zachary spelled Z-A-C-C-H-A-R-I-E. I believe I got that right. I've never seen Zachary spelled that way. Z-A-C-C-H-A-R-I-E. Botcher, what do you think of the spelling of that first name? What's better, the way that I spell my first name, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, or how Zachary Sachet spells his first name, Z-A-C-C-H-A-R-I-E?
Depends where you are. If it's in France, it's like Zachary.
Yeah.
It's cooler. But In America, it's just weird.
Yeah,
it looks like Zachary.
A lot of people can't say my name correctly. Like, I will get into an Uber or a Lyft, and they'll be like, Zach. I've never heard someone say Zach or Zach. I'm like, Zach. So I understand it's spelled C-H, Z-A-C-H, but That's clearly Zach. I know some people spell it Z-A-C, Z-A-C-K, or Z-A-K, however you like, but I've never seen it spelled, once again, Z-A-C-C-H-A-R-I-E. So I didn't know I was going to be, I knew that the draft picks were going to be in front of me through this NBA experience. It was a pretty cool event that they invited me to. I didn't know I was going to be sitting behind the first overall pick. And it's a problem with the NBA draft. And it can't be like, okay, every year is Victor Wembanyama. Where even though most of us up until this year have not seen Victor Wembanyama play, you always knew who Victor Wembanyama was because his generational talent, he was talked about so much. I got there. There's like 30 prospects on the floor at the Barclays Center. And I'm like, huh, a lot of these guys I can't recognize. And I'm trying to figure out who's sitting in front of me. And all these cameras are there. And I even said yesterday, because there was debate, was it going to be Sar, was it going to be Reese O'Shea to go as the first overall pick? And I thought it was going to be Zachary. That's who I thought was going to be the first overall pick. And it ended up being so. So eventually, I'm like, oh, I'm sitting in front of Zachary Reese O'Shea. I go, this would be pretty cool. I'm going to see the commissioner announce his name. And you know how in the NFL, everyone's on like a phone call? They don't do phone calls at the NBA draft. Or I didn't see anyone on a phone. Now, like you'll have an agent run up and say something. You know, Scott Drew, when his Baylor guys ended up going, he ran over. He's like, all right, here we go. It's going to happen now. But there is like a big suspense where not even the camera crews really know what's going on. And I kind of felt bad for the players, Connor, because could you imagine, like, Connor, let's say you were getting ready to be the number two or number one overall pick in the draft. And it's true. This was truly one of the years where even though I had a guess that it was Zachary Reese O'Shea because Sar refused to work out with the Hawks, it was still unknown what was going to happen. So who they think is going to get picked, they have like three guys and ESPN has cameras on those three guys. So it's kind of awkward. Because if I came up to you with the camera crew, Connor, right as they're announcing the number one overall pick, you're thinking you're going to be the number one overall pick, right?
You would think, yes.
So they had cameras on him, they had cameras on Sar, and they had cameras on someone else. I don't remember who it was. So I thought that was awkward. So there really is a suspense with the NBA draft. I ended up staying until like the 23rd or the 24th pick, and then I looked at my buddy who tagged along with me, and we were like, all right, we've had enough. It's time to go. But the fact now that this is a two-day event is just absolutely ridiculous. And I get it, right? It's the day of Bronny, right? No one cares that the Filipowski kid from Duke didn't go. All the coverage today, when it gets underway at 4 p.m. Eastern time, is going to be Bronny getting drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers. And we'll get into that a little bit more later on the show because that's what I think is going to happen. But I do think it's a problem when you have the first overall pick and no one knows how to say this guy's name. Zachary Reese O'Shea. That's how I think you say it. Let's hear the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver. He announced the number one overall pick last night.
With the first pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Zachary Reese O'Shea from Lyon, France, and France's JL Boron-Bresse.
I think he tried to sound like Adam Silver was French with the first name, that he kind of botched the last name. Connor, do you agree with that?
I agree with that. He should have really gone even more with the Zachary.
Yeah.
And then gone Reese. And then he had no idea how to say the last name. He said Reese O'Shea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's Reese O'Shea.
No one knows. Let's just be clear. Let's hear from Malika Andrews, right? It goes from the commissioner to Malika Andrews on the ESPN ABC coverage last night.
Zachary Reese O'Shea, the 19-year-old, is headed to Atlanta.
Okay, that's how I think I said it. By the way, I just realized someone pointed out my YouTube stream. Why do you have your sunglasses? You trying to think you're looking cool today? As I had them on my shirt, no clue that my sunglasses were there. I was walking to the studio. I guess I took them off, and I must have never put them in my bag. So I'll admit, I was looking like a douche to start this
show. When you
show.
Put the sunglasses on, then you become Zachary.
Yeah. then I'll change my name. So I apologize on the YouTube stream for people that are like mesmerized about the placement of my sunglasses. So two different pronunciations in the span of 5 seconds. It goes right from Adam Silver, then back to Malika Andrews. Let's hear from our esteemed update anchor here at Infinity Sports Network, the great Peter Schwartzel. Play it in just a second. Let me just remind people, I know Peter's now trying to be an NBA guy. He's going to the Knicks playoff games. I know Peter Schwartz well. Peter Schwartz despises the NBA, hates it with a burning passion, no matter what he tries to tell you right now. Because I remember a year ago, we had a big blow up right here at the network. With DA, it was including yours truly as well when DA was working here, because Peter Schwartz tweeted out, I'm supposed to care about this NBA draft lottery? He goes, I've never even heard of Victor Wembanyama. And I'm like, Peter.
Forward center Victor, Wembanyama?
That was a nice botcher. Botcher, you have that on your fingertips ready to go?
I was prepared.
Oh, my God. I told Botcher, like 3 minutes before the show started, oh, we're going to talk about Zachary Richache, or however you say his name, how to pronounce his name right in the open. But that was devilish. And that was actually mean by Ryan Botcher.
No.
A little bit.
Wemby.
You took a little bit of a knife and you gently stabbed it. You didn't like viciously stab it, but you gently stabbed it in the back of Peter Schwartz. But last year, Peter Schwartz was like, I've never heard of this guy, Wembanyama. And DA and I were like, it's a bad look for the network when an update anchor doesn't know who Victor Wembanyama was. And then I think Pete realized it. And then Pete like admitted he was wrong, and it wasn't really that big of a deal. We were just having fun with it on the radio. But I thought it was funny in Pete's defense, when he's trying to defend himself, he said to me, do you know who the number one pick is of the lacrosse draft? I'm like, no one cares about the lacrosse draft. And this is the NBA, for crying out freaking loud. So let's hear Peter Schwartz earlier this morning on Maggie and Perloff. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly, trying to pronounce the name Zachary Richache.
Zachary Richache. I knew I was going to mess that up at some point today.
And finally, I guess Zachary Richache did an interview. This was on Good Morning America earlier this morning after being the number one overall pick in the draft. Let's see how the interviewee introduced Zachary Richache.
We are back now with our play of the day, and it goes to the number one pick of the 2024 NBA draft, Zachary Richache.
Yeah, so no one knows how to say this. Wait, Zachary Richache would be the interviewee, right? That's the interviewer. I think I messed that up, right?
E is the person being interviewed.
Okay, so Zachary Richache is the interviewee. The interviewer, I guess, completely botched the entirety of that pronunciation. How would we rank them? Malika Andrews, I think, would be one. I think she got it the way I think it's pronounced. I would then say Silver 2, the GMA anchor 3, and then Schwartz on Sports, Peter Schwartz, in a number 4. Would that be your ranking, Connor Green?
I would put Peter Schwartz actually third over the Good Morning America clip, because the Good Morning America clip was just wrong outright.
Yeah. At least Peter's memorable.
Peter got his shot blocked in the beginning, had to stop, and then came back. But I do think the second time when he restarted, he did give the name right. So at least he did know it. He just botched it on the first attempt.
You know what? I do compare you oftenly to the great Simon Cowell.
Like, oh, thank you.
That's how I would think your judging abilities are, where you could be harsh, but you could also have fun. I would say to, like, Peter Schwartz's comp here would be William Hung from American Idol. Like, at least, you don't, wait, Botcher, you don't know who William Hung is?
No.
Oh, my.
I supposed to?
Gracious. Now, Botcher's 22, so okay, I understand that. Even I was young. Nico, thumbs up. You don't know who William Hung is?
Kids Connor? These days, yeah. I, of course I know William Hung. He was an international superstar.
He got up to American Idol, and he performed, she bangs, she bangs, oh baby, and she grooves. So I once, I think I got the words right. When I won my fantasy football league 1 year, he charges like $25 on Cameo. I had him introduce the draft order, which is pretty damn good. And like I made like a Simon Cowell reference and, you know, no one sings better than me, just like Zach. No one's better than him in the fantasy league and all that stuff. So Schwartz is kind of like William Hung, Connor.
Yeah, like he inadvertently had a good clip, even though it wasn't great. Just like William Hung inadvertently had a great musical career based on the terrible rendition of She Bang. I think he released an album and made a ton of money, too, William Hung.
He does cameos now out of his bedroom. Like,
yeah.
I don't even think he made the bed when he did the cameo for us. And I was trying to give him a script to read, but on Cameo, they limit your characters. So I just used it in like the prompts that they did and put my whole script in there. He's like, he did it in a version and was like, hey, Zach, I can't do four different scripts, but I'll just pause after each one. I'm like, oh, come on, dummy. I just want you to read the entire thing. Like, who does? It was like clearly flowing, too. So we ended up having Cap merge it all together.
When you get a cameo from an international superstar like that, you just take what you can get.
You take what you can get. Absolutely. So that's my first reaction to the draft. No one knows how to pronounce Zachary Sachet. I think I got it right. I don't know if I got it right. And also, the NBA draft being 2 days is just a joke. But after that, I thought Minnesota won the first round of the draft. I was a little disappointed. I get why they would take Castle at four, the Spurs. I was hoping that they would pair the two big athletic freaks, Victor Wembanyama and Donovan Klingon, together in at four. But they ended up going Castle at four. And then with the eighth pick, they took Rob Dillingham out of Kentucky. But this is another gripe I have with the NBA draft. And this is a gripe I have every year. Dillingham gets drafted, but he gets traded. So the Spurs draft him. So they have him walking around the entire night with the Spurs hat. Everyone knows he gets traded to Minnesota. And then the GM of the Spurs, you know, that dope, he gets to the podium. He's like, oh, I can't talk about it. Because it was controversial that the Spurs didn't make two selections to build a young team when you have two picks in the top 10 and keep both of those players. So I like what Minnesota did, a team that we thought, after they upset the Nuggets, were on the verge of winning a championship, and then they lost to the Mavericks. I like them being aggressive, going into the top 10, moving to eighth overall. And then in the back end of the first round, they got Terrence Shannon Jr., who just had a very good season out of Illinois. So I like what Minnesota did in the first round. I was shocked. I was shocked that Zach Edey ended up going ninth overall. Like, when he was in the tournament, and remember, this is a two-time National Player of the Year. When he was in the tournament, people were like, oh, he's just big. And I thought that was disrespectful and silly. But I thought Zach Edey was probably going to be a late first-round pick or a second-round pick. And eventually, as the process did go on, you heard Zach Edey's name rising a little bit. And I think Scoop B, who was with us yesterday, he's like, he's heard anywhere from the top 10 to, like, probably go the range of, I think he said 10 to, like, 18, something like that. But he'll probably go in, like, 15, 16, 17 range. No one had him going ninth overall to Memphis. And I'll say this, I actually like the pick of Memphis. I think a lot of people today are like, oh, Zach Edey, what a waste of a pick in the top 10. You know, who else did you want them to take? Like, if you want to tell me Dalton Connect, okay. But like, people that are criticizing the draft today, do you really know the players that went after Zach Edey? Like, that would be my, because everyone tries to be an expert this time of the year. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. I'm going to be honest with you. But I have no problem with the pick of Zach Edey. I hope he ends up being a very good player in the NBA. But the player I really like is Dalton Connect. And we've had him on the show. Great story. You know, the spots he had to transfer was overlooked. Winds up at Tennessee for a season. Won the SEC Player of the Year. I thought for sure he'd be a lottery pick. I didn't know if he'd be in the top 10, but I thought for sure he'd be a lottery pick. He ends up falling to 17. And think about this. We could finally say something positive as of late with the Los Angeles Lakers. Because you know me, I'm rooting against J.J. Redick. Do not like him. I think LeBron, if he's serious about winning, he should lead the Los Angeles Lakers. It's not going to happen. Like, I don't view the Lakers as a championship destination, but the Lakers need shooters. If they're going to keep LeBron, if they're going to keep Anthony Davis, they need more shooters. And you know, bare minimum, I saw one site compare Dalton Connect to Wally Szczerbiak. Like, he's a shooter. You know, he's 39, 40% first-year shooter in the SEC from three. That's pretty damn good. So I like what the Lakers did with the 17th pick of the draft, and I never thought they were going to be able to go snag Dalton Connect. So those are my takeaways from the first round of the NBA draft. We will take a timeout when we come on back. Bronny to the Lakers. It seems like a lock, in my opinion. I'll tell you why when we come on back in 5 minutes, right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Big shout out to Bella B on Twitter. She is a big Jim Rome listener and a big Infinity Sports Network listener. I remember a few years ago, I think we had like a fun back and forth regarding hockey during the playoffs. If I recall, she's a big hockey fan. She sent me an article during the break via Twitter, where you could always get at me, at Zach Gelb. The 19-year-old Risashe, pronounced R-E-E-Z-A-H-S-H-A-Y. So it's R-E-E-Z-A-H-S-H-A-Y. So that's Risashe, right? So we were saying it right. Zachary Risashe. Botcher, do you not? I'm always bad when they
I'm trying to sound it out here. Zachary Risashe.
Yeah.
I think Adam Silver must have been right. Risashe.
Give me Silver one more time, Botcher. Let me hear the commissioner one more time. I think Malika Andrews had it right the best. Go ahead.
With the first pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Zachary Risashe from Lyon, France, and France's JL Boron-Bresse.
So he goes Risashe.
I think you're right.
I think that has to be it. If anybody is to know his name, it has to be Adam
you
Silver.
You would think. He is spineless Silver. He could mess up a one-car funeral these days, all right? Like, this guy has not done a lot right as of late, and people still love this dude. It's weird. I was hooked up with the NBA experience last night. I'm sitting not that far away from the stage. I'm a pretty loud dude, and I'm a tall dude. There was so much in me that I had to hold back. I wanted to stand up and be like, Adam Silver, you suck! Boo! I wanted to boo the crap out of the commissioner, but I was respectful since I was a guest of the whole NBA experience program last night. I had an encounter last night with John Calipari. So I'm going to be honest. There was some fine whiskey that was being served in this club. So I had a few pops last night of whiskey on some bottle that I don't even remember what the heck it was. And I think if like I went to a bar in the city, it would have been like $80 for like a pour of the whiskey. So it was out of my bracket. But it tasted very good. And I'm walking past John Calipari last night. Like, we're in the tunnel of like the Barclay Center, like behind the scenes, coming back from the club. And I see John Calipari. If you listen to the show, you know my favorite chant in all of sports is the pig suey, you know, when they call the Hogs. And he's now the coach of the Razorbacks, where it's like, ooh, pig suey, ooh, pig suey, ooh, pig suey, Razorbacks. So that's like my favorite chant. So after having a few pops and seeing Coach Cal as he's just walking by, I go, Coach Cal, pig suey. And I know he's the new coach of Arkansas. He knows the pig suey chant. They did it at his introductory press conference. He was like, thanks, guys. Like, basically told me to shut the bleep up. He didn't say that, but him just saying, guys, basically was saying, like, I want nothing to do with you.
I think Calipari is a big hot shot, big time coach, and I think he resents the fact that he's been reduced to the pig suey chant coach. I think he'd rather be coaching at a bigger program.
So I disagree. I don't think he ever wanted to leave Kentucky, but him and the AD did not get along anymore. And he won a championship. I don't think he was going to win another championship again at Kentucky. And he's friends with the Tyson Chicken Group, and they're big donors with Arkansas. So that's why. I know, Connor, you're down the hall now. You're big fancy. You don't have time for us network folks here at Infinity Sports Network. It's crazy that we even got you back to fill in today. But that's why I think he's at – well, that's why I know he's at Arkansas. And it's only SEC. And they're going to throw a lot of money at these recruits. And he'll basically try to do what he did at Kentucky at Arkansas, even though it doesn't have the gravitas of the Kentucky job. But anyway, that was kind of my experience at the at the NBA draft. Now, give me Malika Andrews here just one more time, because the more and more I see it, R-E-E-Z-A-H-S-H-Y, Risashe, right? Is that Risashe? Is that how the commissioner said it?
Risashe, right?
Risashe.
Risashe.
But, Botcher, I think you still believe it's Risashe.
No, Risashe. I don't know. It depends. Risashe.
Right. Let's put this to bed.
play me Adam Silver after you see the way that it's supposed to be pronounced. Just reading it. Play me Adam Silver.
With the first pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Zachary Risache from Lyon, France, and France's JL Boron-Bresse.
All right, now give me Malika Andrews.
Zachary Risache, the 19-year-old, is headed to Atlanta.
I don't know, man.
I think it's France. It's got to be Risache, not Risache. Zachary Risache.
And Malika Andrews does a great job, but doesn't... I know this is a dopey commissioner, but doesn't the dopey commissioner even have to get it right?
You would think so, but Roger Goodell did get Tua's name wrong and a couple of other ones, too.
The worst one. He said it was the second pick of the draft when Tennessee took Marcus Mariota.
Oh, God,
He said Marcus Mariota. That was Roger Goodell. Marcus Mariota.
And Tua Tagovailoa.
Now, a lot of people, I get a lot of DMs from people that hate the way that I pronounce Tua Tagovailoa's name. I say his last name correctly. We've had Tua on the show when he was at Alabama a bunch, and there's a video where someone asked him, how do you correctly pronounce his name? And he's like, Tagovailoa. So I always get a kick whenever somebody is like, why do you say Tagovailoa? Because I'm like, hey, moron, that's how you're supposed to say it. And I always, if it's publicly, if it's through DMs, I'll be nice. But if it's publicly, like someone just bleeping me, like, you know, just dragging me up and down on social media, I will then post it to a Tagovailoa video of himself saying it.
That's you could just go source. With Tua T.
Yes. People that know, all right, people that know Tua very well, you know, good friends of his. I know Tua T since he was a little child. All right, Tua T. You know, people in the know call him Tua T.
The kid from Alabama.
Alabama. As we make fun of the great Mike Francesa. So I'm going to say the commissioner got it right. So change in the power rankings. Silver 1, Malika Andrews 2, Peter Schwartz 3. And then in at number 4, whoever the interviewer was on Good Morning America. Now, Ack. How do you pronounce the last name of the first pick of the draft?
Risache.
So he says it more like Malika Andrews.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. But I just feel like France Risache would sound more appropriate than Risache.
So, Ack, I always think at this, even when people spell out the name for me, this was sent to me by a listener.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, it's a how hard you deliver the S. Let me
be clear. We have been talking about this for 30 minutes, and we don't hold it against anybody, so we're not going after you, Ack. But if someone spelled it to you that way, how would you then say it?
Risache.
Okay. So that's, isn't that right? Sounding-wise, that's more like how the commissioner said it.
Yeah, he said like a Risache.
Okay. So I guess
like it's an S, but it kind of sounds like a Z. It's a little French,
softer,
a little spicy.
Softer S, you know?
Yeah. I thought you said something else at first. I thought you said... I heard that very quickly.
Softer S?
Yes. Anywho, my mind is in the gutter. Absolutely in the toilet. This is definitely a summer radio program, if you can't tell. Today, though, the second round of the draft starts at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Does anyone think Bronny isn't going to the Los Angeles Lakers and he's going to get drafted there? I heard Tim Legler, because I guess the Celtics pick right in front of the Los Angeles Lakers. Do we have that sound? Just wondering. Yeah, we do. Play me Tim Legler. This is what Legs said on First Take earlier this morning when talking about the draft status of Bronny James.
I like movies. I like true crime, stuff like that. I'm just saying, 54th pick. We renew the Cold War between the Celtics and the Lakers. The Boston Celtics take Bronny James, and he sent a ransom note to the Lakers. We have your son. We have your son. If you want him back, it's going to take Austin Reeves. It's going to take whatever you want. What do you think, Stephen A? What do you think? That's a Netflix doc. That's a Netflix documentary right there.
I like that. Works. I like that. Works. That works. We have your son.
That's
do you
right.
Want him back?
Yeah. We have you your son. Back? If you want him back, that's what it's going to cost you.
I love that.
Right. What was that, Botcher? What did you say in my ear?
Tim had the pleasure of being on the Rome show today.
Yes.
And he said the same exact thing.
Oh, yeah. It's
word
good, it's
for
good
word,
material.
Though. Word for word. Like,
so you know, like, that was Tim Legler who we just played.
Yeah.
So he said it on First Take, and then he said it on Jim Rome.
Following the same script is kind of crazy.
I don't think so. It's multiple. I can't tell you how many times we've had something go viral on this show, and then once it goes viral, I'm like, oh, that same person was on some other show, and it didn't go viral. So like that, like Magic Johnson, I think it was this time last year, came on the show, and he was adamant that he's the greatest point guard of all time, which I agree with, over Steph Curry. And he was like listing off every accolade that he's ever had and how it's better than Steph, you know, outside of the three-point shots. And he went on like 19 different shows that day. It was ours that like did almost like a million views or something like that. So that just like happens. But I think that's a good job by Legler. Like, Tim is a big audience. Obviously, First Take is a big audience, or Get Up, whatever show he was on this morning. And I thought that, you know, I'm okay with that. I thought you meant he stole it from Jim or someone like that. That's what I thought you were saying.
I do think I heard that take originally from Bill Simmons. I could be, it
really?
Might just be great minds think alike, but I heard about a week and a half ago, Bill Simmons give the take to take Bronny James. The Celtics should take Bronny James hostage.
So Legler, a little bit of a thief.
Maybe.
You know
what? A
little
bit of a joke thief. Possible.
I'm okay with those allegations. Because Legs used to join us all the time. He joined us last year during the playoffs. And I've reached out to him like five or six, maybe got a new number, maybe. I don't think Tim Legler's a changed number guy. But five or six times I've texted him during this past postseason run. And I've got ghosted. Ghosted.
Wow.
Doesn't even give me the courtesy response anymore. Tim Legler, who I'm a big fan of. And I've been advocating more than anybody outside of SVP that Tim Legler should be the number one guy. And he should replace J.J. Redick. I even said when Doc left, they should just move. Instead of putting that clown J.J. Redick in there, you put Tim Legler in there. That's what I've been saying. But back to the genesis of the clip. That would be great if Brad Stevens calls up Rob Pelinka. Hey, Rob, you want to keep Bronny? You want to keep LeBron? Well, we have his son, Bronny. We have LeBron's son. We want your next first-round picks for the next. Well, I've got to go every other year. We want like four first-round picks. That's always, I love, like, when they trade picks. What was it last night? Memphis traded, like, a 2031 first-round pick. Or the Timberwolves did to get the eighth overall pick from Memphis and get the rights for Rob Dillingham. But we all know Bronny's going to go 55 to the Lakers. I'd be shocked if that doesn't happen. The teams that end up picking before him right now, the Raptors, the Jazz, the Bucks, the Trailblazers, the Spurs, the Pacers, the Timberwolves, the Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Trailblazers, the Sixers, the Hornets, the Heat, the Rockets, the Kings, the Clippers, the Magic, the Spurs, the Pacers again, Wizards, Warriors, Pistons, Celtics. Will any of them have the chops or the stones to actually take Bronny James? Do you think so, Connor?
I think so. I think Bronny James holds more value to another team than to the Lakers because they know Bronny's not going to be an NBA legitimate starter, I don't think. Maybe he could be a decent bench player.
John Rothstein was on with us the other day. He said if it wasn't for the fact that LeBron was his father, he would not even be drafted.
Yeah, no way. So to the Lakers, he really doesn't have any value at all, other than the fact that he's LeBron James' son. But to another team, the value he holds is that he's going to end up being on the Lakers no matter what. LeBron will force a trade. Mm-hmm. So he holds more value to these other teams because, hey, look, we have Bronny. We're never going to play him. We know LeBron wants him, so what are you willing to give up for Bronny?
What, like, let's say, I don't know, I'll throw out a random team. Let's say the Jazz, they draft Bronny. I don't even, I've listened to so many teams, I don't remember if the Jazz were even on it, but let's just say it's the Jazz. What dirt does LeBron try to dig up on people in the Jazz organization, whether it's the owner, the GM, Danny Ainge, I think, now runs that team too. Like, what dirt do they kind of start to dig up and investigate to force a trade and never have that dirt actually see the light of day? That's what I'm wondering. But I think the Bronny storyline, and we fell for it, it's the biggest waste of time. He was never going in the first round. I don't think people actually thought he was going to be in the first round, but maybe because of the LeBron factor he could have. But he was never going in the first round. And I think Rothstein is right. That, and Fanta said it too when he joined us, he should have gone back to college. He should have transferred to Duquesne, played with Drew Joyce III, right, who's LeBron's high school teammate, longtime friend, and work on your game. But he'll get drafted at the absolute latest by the Lakers. I don't think anyone else is going to take him. I'd be surprised when the draft starts, the second round starts in 20 minutes, someone else takes him. I really would be. And I think all this was like Rich Paul saying he won't sign a two-way contract or he only work out for two teams. This was a big, like, dog and pony show. That's what it was. And it was all to just stir up drama and capitalize and using the name and all that stuff. He's going to end up going 55th overall. I'd be surprised if anyone else ends up taking him. It'd be fun, though, if what Connor's saying or what I'm saying or what Legs is saying or what Bill Simmons is saying, if there's maybe some dirty games going on here where eventually Bronny goes there but someone else usurps the Lakers and then they try to demand something. Anywho, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. When we come on back, the Knicks have kept OG Anunoby. We have the latest on Jimmy Butler as well. Something different than what we thought from yesterday's program. Update time first. Here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the Infinity Sports Network.
So I was watching a video during the break, and it's Maggie completes the lime jello tuna challenge. So I guess this occurred this AM on Maggie and Perloff and many of these same Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and also streaming live on YouTube. That looks disgusting. Just the sound of it. Lime jello tuna challenge. So I saw this, and I texted Maggie during the break, what bet did you lose that you had to eat that bleep? And she said it was an NBA playoff bet. I guess she lost an NBA playoff bet to Perloff on the Western Conference semifinals, and then she doubled down on the Western Conference final and got both wrong. She said, clearly I'm an idiot. Connor, I don't know. Can you eat disgusting crap?
No, I can't. I mean, the only foods I really eat, I keep it very simple. Cheeseburgers, pizza. Like, I don't even go with mustard on hot dogs. I'm not an adventurous eater. So anything like that, lime jello tuna, I couldn't do. I couldn't do that.
I filled in. One of the times I filled in on Maggie and Perloff's show, I ate mint ice cream with ranch on the air. Like, they do a lot of these bets. I just walked into this one where I was claiming after hearing it was a player on the Phillies that he eats ranch with mint ice cream. I'm like, oh, we should probably try that. And Maggie was like, I will not taste it. Like, I was literally running around with a spoonful of mint ice cream with ranch on. It was like, come on, Maggie, like, chugga, 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 choo, choo, as if she was like a child and she wouldn't eat it. And I remember Awful Announcing did like a write-up on it. And it was something, it was along the lines of like Zach Gelb eats mint ice cream with ranch on the air. And I said something like, it tastes like crap, but it's like not that bad. That's what I said in the moment. I thought it was going to be disgusting. Now, I'm not a ranch guy. I like blue cheese better, but that's with like wings. So I don't, like, the only time I put ranch on something is like a bacon chicken ranch pizza. I am not a lover of ranch. But Maggie eating the lime jello tuna challenge.
With mayonnaise.
Well, yeah, because there's mayo and tuna.
No, but I think they put extra.
Oh, they needed to make that even grosser than what it was?
Yes.
That's repulsive. I don't know why. I love tuna when it's at like a bagel place. But like, I've had roommates, I've had friends. Like, even my dad is a very good cook. But when he makes like tuna and it comes right out of a can, the smell of it grosses me out. But even though I know the tuna comes in the same can at the bagel place, and they also put a ton of mayo in it to make it taste better, I don't know why. I will only eat tuna coming from a bagel place. I will never just open up a can and make my own tuna at home.
You do have to get past the smell a little bit, but if you get tuna with a little bit of mayo and you put it on sort of a piece of toast.
Everything bagel.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. Or the best ever is a tuna steak. Which it took me forever to try that.
Very good.
Delicious.
Yes.
Delicious.
No, 100%. I was just talking about like the typical tuna fish. That,
yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of other different types of tuna that I think is absolutely phenomenal. This is painful. And then Perloff, I guess, thought he was a big tough guy and he tried to take a bite. And right away, He hocked to it into that into that trash can. He spat right into that trash can. At least, like, Maggie, like, she digested the lime jello tuna. Man. What's the next bet? I know that Perloff lost because he was like, he called Victor Wembanyama Victor, or he called him Wembusyama. That's what he called him. So now he has to drive to San Antonio. You have that in the system too, Botcher?
No, I was just going to play the Schwartz clip.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm like, if you had the Wembusyama in the system.
I could look.
I'm like, you're like a mini Pete the Body Bellotti if you had all that craziness right at the grasp of your fingertips. Could you imagine, Connor, driving to San Antonio? And then he has to drive back. That's crazy. How far is that drive, do you think?
To San Antonio?
Multiple days.
Multiple. Because what? How long is it to get to Disney World down in Florida? Like, that's about a day, right?
Probably more, I would say.
Yeah, so
you can't do it straight through. You got to sleep. You got to go eat. You got to fill up your car with gas.
I'd say three days to get to San Antonio.
Let's see.
Right?
345 Hudson Street to San Antonio via car. Because most people will say go fly. Oh, my God. It's 1,000, according to this Google search I just did, it's 1,820 and a half miles. It is a 28-hour drive.
Now, why is he driving to San Antonio?
Wembusyama?
Oh, wow. Botcher. Very good.
Botcher's on top of things back here.
It's crazy. He may not have known who William Hung was, but you asked Botcher to get a drop. Botcher will be all over it. Because he said he wouldn't win the Rookie of the Year, and I guess that's what he would drive to San Antonio if he won Rookie of the Year to apologize.
Yeah, he has to make a sign, and then he's also not allowing Bogus to go with him or something like that, and he's going to stop for hot dogs in Chicago, something like that.
Okay.
There's a whole backstory.
There's a place in Chicago called the Wiener Circle where you walk in, it's like a 24-hour joint, and they just berate you. Like, they yell at you while you make the order. I think there's a place in Boston called, like, Dick's, which is like that, where they'll give you hats and they'll write things on your hats and just make fun of you and, like, curse you out the entire time. I would not mind going to San Antonio. I have a friend in San Antonio, and, you know, my friend's dad lives in San Antonio. They've opened up a restaurant there. So I've always wanted to go to San Antonio, but I would not drive.
Charles Barkley, big fan of San Antonio.
Especially the women in San Antonio.
100%, absolutely.
So the Knicks end up keeping OG Anunoby, by the way. I said that yesterday, that I thought if there was going to be an odd man out, it was going to be Julius Randle, not OG Anunoby. But the more and more you think about it, and Scoopy said it with us yesterday, and it's a 5-year, $212.5 million deal, and Sam Rose represents OG Anunoby. He's Leon Rose's son, so you thought that this deal would get done. But it now seems like there's some confidence that the Knicks are going to be able to keep OG Anunoby. Well, they have OG now back. They're going to be able to re-sign Isaiah Hartenstein and keep Julius Randle, and that's Mitch Robinson who's on the way out. Like, now you know OG's back. They just got Bridges. I'm still a little skeptical if they're going to be able to keep Randle, but they're going for it this year. And you have to sacrifice Mitch Robinson, who always gets hurt anyway, for Julius Randle, and you get to keep him and Isaiah Hartenstein. I would be on board with that, and we'll see if they could find a way to make that work. Jimmy Butler, the report yesterday is he wants to stay in Miami. Well, then later on we found out he wants to stay in Miami just for this year, and then he wants to have free agency afterwards, and he's not willing to sign a deal now with the Heat or sign a deal with anybody else. So, like, if the Heat said, oh, you're not going to sign with us, we'll try to trade you, he goes, well, tell that team I'm not signing with them. I want to have a monster year and then get to free agency. Kind of puts the Heat in a sticky situation, because that means you think then Jimmy will be all committed for this season, all in on this season. But then what happens if he doesn't want to stay? Then you're going to basically get nothing back for Jimmy Butler. And the intrigue is still there with Paul George. That's going to be the big storyline when free agency gets underway on June 30th. It's going to be, is Paul George going to stay with the Clippers? And if not, does he go to Orlando? Does he maybe go back to Indiana? Will he go back to OKC? Like, where is Paul George going to go? And there's been a lot of speculation. I would love to see this happen. Paul George, I don't believe it, winding up with the Golden State Warriors and teaming up with Steph Curry. We'll take a timeout. We're talking Tua Tagovailoa next on the Zach Gelb Show.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.